Hello, I'm Aria Serenity.
Hi, I'm Hannah Exel.
Good morning. I love this gathering here. This is beautiful. I haven't been to church in years, but this is kind of refreshing and it's very centering. I became a member of Black and Pink while I was incarcerated, and this is where I also found myself. And having done so, I politicized myself and made it so that when I did come out, I would surround myself with community, people that were positive, people that were giving, that were genuine, and that were true to a cause, but a cause that reflected and was for everybody, regardless to whom or what. And I found that through Black and Pink, a prison abolitionist group that, while I was inside, helped me get through my hard times through pen pals. I was writing Daniel Stern, who was a member, and Hannah, plenty of others, members from the Providence chapter that gave me balance and gave me community when I came out, helped me put my feet on the right path and make sure that I walk that walk, and I continue that walk today. I've been out for over a year and 6 months now, about maybe 9 months out of prison, and I've been doing prison abolition work ever since. And Black and Pink, with Black and Pink, I've gone through to the State House to testify at state Senate hearings for to sponsor bills like juvenile sentencing, to give our youth a second chance at life, instead of creating monsters and making their experience a lot more hellish, especially when they're gonna come back out into society with that rage, with that anger. I think it's counterproductive in that sense. So I found also through with Black and Pink a humanizing factor, seeing that Black and Pink is an organization that deals with LGBT community specifically that are incarcerated, and also is very welcoming of allies. I see that that having that community, that genuineness from these people that I was given, is easy for me to be able to give back to others as well, through the work that I do. And I don't know, maybe Hannah can pick it up from here.
Yeah. Just to share a little bit more about sort of the nuts and bolts of what we do, Black and Pink Providence is the Providence-based chapter of a national organization that, as Reverend D.L. said, was started by a Unitarian Universalist reverend named Jason Lydon. It's now based in Nebraska, but there are chapters across the country. We support LGBTQ people who are incarcerated across the country, but you do not have to be LGBTQ identified to be part of what we do. We are pretty active in the Providence chapter. We are connected with about 25 people incarcerated in the ACI in Cranston, the prison facilities in Cranston, and we write them a newsletter a few times a year. We also host a holiday card party every year, which I understand you all have done in the past. You don't have to physically come to meetings to be involved. You can start a pen pal relationship from wherever you are, and I can share more information about how to get involved with that. And am I forgetting anything? Oh, yes. So as a prison abolitionist organization, we envision a world without prisons, and we work towards that, sometimes in small incremental steps. If you want to learn more about prison abolition, I have copies of a book called Towards a World Without Prisons that was put together by incarcerated and non-incarcerated people in Rhode Island. So come see me after that. And thank you all so much for your support. It's really wonderful to have this connection and not have it, you know, I see it as an ongoing relationship, and we're looking forward to figuring out how to support each other. Thank you again for having us.
Thank you. And there will be a card writing party again this year. We just haven't scheduled it yet. So for many years, and these years have not ended yet, Halloween was my favorite celebration of the year, or one of my favorite celebrations of the year. And I do own a love of candy. I think you know that about me by now. But it was always more than that for me. I love the idea that we could try another way of being, that we could go out in the world, put on ears and a tail, and say, look, I'm a cat. On Halloween, it isn't just okay, but it's even encouraged to step outside of our usual realm and explore another way of being in the world. So it was in that vein and that love of the unknown about a week ago that convinced me and 25 others to spend from 9 to 12 p.m. inside the old Slater Mill in Pawtucket. We were listening for voices of generations that preceded our own. The event was advertised as an evening of looking for paranormal activity, and I know, you know, that sounds and feels pretty gimmicky and absurd, but if you can strip away the showmanship, and there was a lot of showmanship, the core inquiry is a really important one. Most faith traditions honor this time of year when the veil between the living and the dead is believed to be at its thinnest. And maybe also with those that are yet to be born, but that's a whole other sermon probably. So in that vein, why not look for the voices and spirits of those from earlier times, those that preceded our own? It turns out I could have thought through this idea a little more thoroughly than I did, because Slater Mill, is the oldest water-powered spinning mill, cotton spinning mill, in this country. So it means there were generations there long ago, and as was reasonably typical for the time, they hired the least expensive workforce possible, which was frequently 7, 8, 9-year-old children. So for many of these young beings, trauma was a way of life. They were taken from parents, often maimed at the mill, and many died there. And so as we were wandering through the mill in the dark, I won't say that I felt paranormal activity, and I'm kind of grateful for that. But what became apparent really quickly was that the history of that mill was still palpable. I was all too aware of the pain and the fear of those whose lives had been impacted or even ended there. And all those years later, that was not diminished. Enough that more than one person left this paranormal tour, left the building entirely wanting some fresh air, needing to escape from that. So I left that night a bit shaken. And I did ask myself, what was I thinking? But more deeply, I thought about what I learned there, which is one doesn't play with the spirit world. One doesn't tread there lightly. One opens the door between this world and whatever does or does not lay beyond, carefully and with great intention. Because you don't know what you might find. I listen to the news a lot. And I heard recently that, and I believe this was the Irish potato famine, they found generations after that famine ended, youth had the genetic markers of their great-great-grandparents. So it meant if their, say, grandfather at 10 or 11 had gone through the famine and hadn't had enough food, 4 generations later, there was still strong evidence in the DNA and the health of their descendants. And so we think that we're these individual beings with these finite lives, and it's so easy to forget that larger arc of time and the ancestors that came before us and those that will precede us. But we're learning that that's not true once again. We carry our ancestors with us all of the time. So that's why we will stop and honor our ancestors today, because in the most literal way, they are with us still. And at this time of year for Unitarian Universalists, as with most major holidays, it's complicated. Because one's cultural history and religious leanings might move them in one of many directions. Perhaps it's a Wiccan celebration of Samhain, or the Mexican Dia de los Muertos, or perhaps a celebration of All Hallows Eve, known as Halloween. So as I invite you forward shortly to build an altar of memories, the invitation is to remember in ways that resonate with you. Forget about what anyone else needs. Do it in ways that you feel. So before we do so, if you remember to bring a memento with you, hold that in your hands. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, hold your hands together and visualize what might have been there had you had time to think about it. And you're all welcome to participate. I don't care if you're placing an imaginary item on the altar. Do participate. And listen as you think about this to the words of Reverend Kathleen McTeague. Maybe even lower your gaze or close your eyes. In the struggles we choose for ourselves, in the ways we move forward in our lives and bring our world forward with us, it is right to remember the names of those who gave us strength in this choice of living. It is right to name the power of hard lives well lived. We share a history with those lives. We belong to the same motion. They too were strengthened by what had gone before. They too were drawn on by a vision of what might come to be. Those who lived before us, who struggled for justice and suffered injustice before us, they've not melted into dust and have not disappeared. They are with us still. The lives they lived hold us steady. Their words remind us and call us back to ourselves. Their courage and love evoke our own. We, the living, carry them with us. We are their voices, their hands, and their hearts. We take them with us, and with them choose the deeper path of living. So I invite us to come forward as we're invited, and I ask us to hold silence so that all of us that are holding people in our hearts can do so. So how about if we start with choir for once, instead of choir being last? Do you want to come forward and place whatever you have or don't have on the altar? I invite forward the last maybe third of the room, the back third, to come forward as you're so moved. It's an invitation, not mandatory. So up at the middle third of the room. The front of the room. in the ways we move forward in our lives and bring the world forward with us, it is right to remember the names of those who give us strength in this choice of living. So sometimes I'm alone in this space during the week. No one's here, and I'm in this room, and the sun is streaming, and it's empty. And if I'm quiet, I can feel the history here too. Maybe it's the nuns that used this space as a summer retreat, or the years of preschool in this very space. Maybe it's the mill workers who worked from, 100 yards from this building. Maybe it's further back than that, before these lands had been colonized, when those indigenous to this land lived along these then incredibly fertile waterways. History matters. Last week, Princeton University pledged $35 million in reparations. 35. One of many universities aware of their legacy of slavery and oppression, and generations later still feeling that history. And so they joined but a small but growing movement committed to acknowledging and making some measure of repair for that history and that pain, for this massive slave trade that existed in this country. And in my mind, it's the same sort of work that Black and Pink is doing today, helping to shift our generational burden away from this country's history of incarceration. And increasingly, we are getting it that when we honor the power of that history, we too are changed. More and more meetings open with a simple truth, a statement of, I am existing here on this land, which belongs to, name the indigenous tribe whose land it really is. And it isn't just white guilt that gets us there, but a much deeper human need to reach back across the generations, to place ourselves in the arc of time, and to bring all of that history together in a way that we can understand. And that's what I'm beginning to get, and hopefully I'm communicating it to you, that when we do the work of justice, of naming and correcting these histories, we're also cleaning up our own mess right now. Our own genetic pools, our own current crises. We become a bit more whole, a bit less fraught every time we take these steps forward. And let me say, while my mother is living and dying in my home, this isn't a theoretical idea, but a very real and lived one. I mean, I'm getting this all the time. I can either see the generational history and be real about it, or I can ignore it and I can carry it forward. The point is to notice. When we honor those we lost, we sometimes gloss over the complexity of that history. Each year, when we remember our beloveds, the invitation is not only to bring forward our love for them, though that too, but to look more deeply. Is there history that we still need to release about them? Where is there healing to be done in relationships that have long since ended in mortal form? What are the ways that we carry their history forward? It's lifelong work. It's actually generations of work. And all of this points in one direction, that we carry each other. We literally carry each other from generation to generation, embedded in the core of our beings. So whether you believe in souls and spirits, or cells and genetic markers, it's the same thing. I can't explain it, and I know that I'm not the only one that feels these feelings. Our ancestors are with us still. So when you leave today, take your physical history with you, but also take the larger energetic history with you. What are the legacies that create you? What are you building to leave behind? Who do you carry with you, and what parts of your history are yet to be revealed? May we locate ourselves in that arc of history, and may that guide us ever more deeply towards the search for truth that guides us as Unitarian Universalists. May it be so. So please rise and embody your spirit in that vein and join us in singing hymn number 103, For All the Saints. Please join me in the words with which we extinguish our chalice. We extinguish this chalice, but not its light, that we take with us out into the world, sharing it with those we encounter on our journey. May we make our closing circle, but there's a lot of stuff going around this week, so I'm going to ask that maybe we hook elbows instead of holding hands. I'm watching Mr. Burrell close the gap back there. So our benediction today is bring us close to the earth. And I invite you, if you're comfortable, to close your eyes for a moment and just listen. Spirit of life, ground of our being, root of unified mystery, growing into myriad branches of expression, bring us together now. Bring us close to the earth, ear to the whispering grass, quietly, attentively, waiting with slow breaths, listening for the very stones to cry out with their rocky stories of tectonic plates meeting and parting, their mineral memories of Hadean days, molten rocks flowing and joining, their ancient legends of stars born out of collapse of the other stars. Help us to remember, help us to piece together our oneness with matter, our oneness with all that matters.